All right, hey, welcome to a new episode of the RSL Show. Today you've got two hosts in the building, in separate buildings actually. Myself, Andy Munoz, and we've got...
good old Josh Clark here.
Josh, how you doing, dude?
I'm doing well. How are you, Juan Andres?
Doing all right. State of RSL is just like hectic right now. Let's just get right into it. A lot of people are not happy with Real Salt Lake's performances. Going back to NYCFC, we go to a stadium that's obviously meant for baseball. Before I go any further and go on a rant here, tangent, do you think that that is an advantage for NYCFC to be playing on a pitch that's, I mean, obviously much smaller?
In ways, right? Like, I know that this really could turn into a lot of arguments with certain people, but you know, it's just like with any field, you get used to your nuances, kind of like we get used to our altitude, and it's an advantage. If you know how to play on a small field, it's an advantage, right? Like, you're used to the depth perception as a goalkeeper with how close your 18 is to your 50 yard line. It's a little bit of an advantage. Is it a 6-0 advantage? No, but it's a small advantage. It's something to pay attention to anyway, is the fact that, you know, there's a giant lump on a side of the field because that's where the infield is for the baseball stadium, an advantage? No, it's not an advantage for either team, but it doesn't help either. To me, like, the state playing in Yankee Stadium is honestly like a joke for, and kind of a black eye for the league. Like, I think it's absolutely ridiculous. Just like RFK is for New England, right? Like, two stadiums that really, they really need to work out what they're planning on doing with those, because it's kind of a joke.
I guess one of the arguments too is, you know, like, let's say you're an NYCFC fan, and you know, the argument is like, yeah, I mean, a lot of people are roasting you because you guys play in a baseball stadium, but also they were beating teams on the road leading up to their cup run.
Right.
Right. So it's, I mean, who is it really unfair to? Is it unfair to visiting sides that really don't play much on that field? Or is it unfair to NYCFC because technically they're playing almost two different styles, right? Like, having to adapt,
right,
for however many, you know, seasons they've been in the league already. But, you know, a lot of people are feeling the frustration. A lot of people are pissed off. I said on the podcast last week, we're off to a great start. One of the best starts that we've had. Usually, historically, we start out terrible, and then we get really good, and then we get into conference runs, and we make the playoffs. This time, I really think that maybe we start off hot, and we could fizzle out.
Yeah, the fizzle, though, for that to happen, the fizzle isn't going to happen that soon, right? Well, this is still very young season. I think this was just, honestly, like, I'm going to just throw it out there. This last week kind of feels fluky, kind of also feels like it was coming, but I think it's something that we can work through, and I'm not ready to, like, make any kind of hard judgments quite yet.
6-0 is like you're throwing your controller at your TV, dude. You're, yeah, rage quitting.
It was comically bad. Yeah.
And I think what I'm seeing right now is a lot of people are kind of rage quitting in a way where it's like, you know, going after Elliot, already doing polls about, you know, Pablo, should we fire him or keep him? I think it's just too early, or even attacking like the new ownership. Like, it's just too early to do that.
Well, and
you know, we've always preached on this show, 10 games, right? 10 games.
And it's a two game skid.
To kind of figure out the flow.
It's a two game skid, right? Granted,
And one doesn't count towards the regular season.
And granted, it's ugly, right? It's embarrassing. The last two losses are absolutely embarrassing. But to be already overreacting, overreaching, and calling for people's heads after a two kind of, you know. No, let's pump the brakes on that.
I mean, I was going to tweet out the whole, like, starting the bus thing for Mitch, right?
Right, it was way too early for that.
Or at least, like, finding the keys. Yeah, too early for that. But, yeah, I mean, it's... I think in the season, I think for RSL, just historically, it's like we take one good ass whipping,
and then we're good.
You know, we avoid them,
right?
Yeah, you know, last season, who was it? Who was it that put? What was the scoreline? 5-1, 6-1? Was it Portland?
Portland, yeah,
yeah. Portland just went pretty heavy on us, and you know that. I think games like those are A, humbling, but B, also it's like, whoa, there's a serious problem here. Let's identify it, and you hope that when the guys go and watch film, that they're addressing all of those issues with, you know, whoever it might be, whether it's the defense or we're leaving, you know, our forwards out on an island. Mm-hmm. We're not, you know, playing to our best abilities. And so, you know, it's going to be something where, you know, you get that 6-0 loss, ass kicking, whatever you want to call it. You hope that the guys just shake it off and then come back in better form. Am I expecting a win on Portland or at Portland Saturday? No.
No. Nope.
I'm not. You're shaking your head. No.
Definitely not.
Portland's a tough team. Playing in their stadium, it's a tough atmosphere. Lucky to pull a result, but it's almost like you're asking, you know, you're asking Real Salt Lake to walk on water,
right,
to get a win in Portland.
But what I...
Especially with like morale probably being... I'm not going to say morale is low on the team because I think that there's a great squad. I think that there's great leadership. There's great things happening with ownership. There's great things happening at the stadium. The fans are engaged. Players are having fun. You know, is the morale low? No, I don't think so. But it's almost like, you know, you could use this as a real booster,
mm-hmm,
to go out and hopefully pull a result, almost like a little, you know, vengeance, a little, you know. All I'm expecting from Real Salt Lake is, you know, I would be happy if we lost by one goal on Saturday.
Right, something
just
respectable.
Just to show that we're in it.
Something respectable, right?
Yeah.
Don't get run off the pitch.
Now, if it goes 3-0, 4-0, 5-0, 6-0, it's like, okay, at that point, you got to ask questions. You got to get a little grimy. You get a little, you know, dirty with your rhetoric or whatever and really call some people out. But I think what we're seeing right now, it's a little immature. It's too early,
I think,
in the game.
I even think if Portland goes sideways, it's still too early. Because, listen, the new ownership comes in. That's not even been, mm-hmm, 2 months now? Maybe three? I know we're in the midst of a transfer window, but we all know that this transfer window is extremely difficult to get the players you want. Do I want a signing? I absolutely want a signing, but we want the right players coming in, right? So we all know that whatever roster rebuild happens, whatever DPs, whatever U22s, probably aren't coming till summer, which means we have to be absolutely patient. We can't rush to this, oh my God, we suck. Oh my God, the owners are doing nothing. Elliot's doing nothing. Like, no, we have to be patient as a fan base through at least the summer to see what they do. And then after that, we still have to be patient for, you know, the new guys to gel. Honestly, we're a year and a half away from being like contenders again. Now, do I want us to get run off the field every week? No, because I think we still have a very good, solid core squad, right? A lot of areas need to be addressed, but we're better than 6-0, and we're better than 1-0 against Hailstorm, right? That's just what it is. So if the results continue to be absolute piss poor 6-0, then sure, we ask questions. But if we're having draws, win, like a good mixed bag of results for the next few months, I'm totally fine with it, right? Like, it's going to take time. I know everyone really wants it to happen now, but we have to be honest with ourselves. Like, that's just not how these things work. So I feel so weird because I'm usually the, yeah, let's fire everyone guy, but let's calm down. Let's be a supportive fan base, right? Be critical but fair with the whole situation. Yeah. This is still Deloitte's problem that we're dealing with, right?
Yeah.
It's going to take a while to clean all that out.
Now, going back to New York City FC, you know, 6-0, just get our faces kicked into the ground. The RSL, the Real Salt Lake Twitter account, you know, kind of digs at their banner, the MLS Cup champs, which is, it's a great tweet. Like, if you're there, you have to make fun of the banner.
Mm-hmm.
but it's, I don't know, did you see... I mean, I even out of the 6-0 loss, I see a few positives. You know, I tweeted it out. Haciel Orozco.
It's going to be a
involved
baller.
With two of the goals. Yeah, but involved with two of the goals. The first one, just rookie mistake. Literally, like it almost unknowingly, like, almost ends Tati Castellano, right? Like, just digs his, can't remember if it's left foot, right foot. Just a horrible tackle that earns him a yellow. I think it could have been red. But it goes to a PK, Tati Castellanos. The golden boot, I think, was he the winner last year? I want to say he, if, was he the winner?
I think he was. If he wasn't, he was like the runner-up. Like,
it was like MVP or something.
Yeah, good player.
Let me just look at his accolades. Yeah, he's a great player. He's got a lot of potential. I mean, he's already killing it in the league, obviously. But let me just go ahead and just look that up because I'm curious now. He was either in the race. No, yeah, 2021, man. Tati Castellanos wins 2021 MLS Golden Boot. So, you know, obviously an excellent forward. He puts away the PK. Just a rookie mistake by Haciel. Got to remember the kid's 17 years old. But also, you know, where there's not so much of a rookie mistake comes in the second play that he's involved with. Not saying this is the second goal. I don't know exactly which goal it was.
Like, this was the sixth.
Zach McMath goes to clear
second
the ball out with his left foot and literally kicks it with the same quality that I've seen goalkeepers kick it that are like play Sunday soccer league, play at like indoor soccer, just the world's most terrible, no excuse. Like, you're a professional goalkeeper. You shouldn't be making those mistakes.
This wasn't the second goal then.
Just no. He kicks it with his left and it just, you know, it goes directly to, I can't remember who put it in the back of the net, but Haciel did try to get in front of it. In fact, it hits his chest, or excuse me, not his chest, his thigh, and it just kind of floaters over McMath.
Yeah, right? A little.
So he's trying to get there to get the save.
Unfortunate deflection. Just yeah, how the day goes.
Unfortunate deflection. A little chip. Yeah, just unlucky. It's a young kid, man. Already being involved with so many plays, some positives, some goals. But just the way that he recovers from that mistake from McMath and literally has to play goalkeeper mm-hmm. at a moment's notice, phenomenal.
Yeah,
from a 17-year-old. Just to like have that awareness is just awesome.
He has tremendous upside. I can definitely see him going far, far away from RSL and MLS in his career. I think he's gonna end up better than Carlos Salcedo. I'll throw that out there right now.
I don't know, man. Well, that's big shoes to, you know. People will say differently, but if you followed Carlos Salcedo's career in Mexico and then what he did with the national team, like, those are big boots to fill.
Yeah, but hey, that's what I'm saying. I fully believe this kid can do it. Except I think he'll do it with the U.S. He'll do it with the U.S. He's gonna pick the U.S.
I don't know, man. Mexican parents, bro. Hispanic parents. They, since he was born, dude, I guarantee you, Haciel, guarantee you his family's been in his ear about Mexico.
Oh, I'm sure,
like, but before he even played soccer.
I'm sure, but the U.S. really needs center backs coming up, so, you know.
Yeah, his dad played professional soccer.
Oh, really?
In Mexico, so.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah, let me tell you something real quick, or actually just kind of get your opinion. So, you know, Zach McMath, you know, I don't know who to really pin this game on. I mean, it's just a multitude of errors between, you know, defenders, lack of attacking, just not a good game overall for Real Salt Lake. But a lot of people were kind of questioning, okay, is McMath, who had great highlights in the beginning of the season, is it now, you know, is this kind of like the proof that we needed that, okay, this guy's a backup? Is Ochoa back in the picture? And I want to get your thoughts on that, Josh, because you're the goalkeeper guy. You have always assessed the GKs in a good way.
Honestly, my tone has definitely changed. I think Ochoa is absolutely back in the mix to be the starter. McMath's still coming up with huge saves. But, you know, the second goal versus Toronto can be put on him almost entirely. Couple bad mistakes against New York. I think the McMath we were all kind of afraid of, the one that kind of makes silly mistakes, is starting to come back around. And I don't know if that's because Ochoa's, you know, chomping at his heels again. Maybe it's getting to him. He's still making some great saves, but he's also making a lot of mistakes, and I think it's really opening the door for the competition to come back. And don't be shocked if Ochoa's back to being number one in the next 1 to 3 matches.
We made it out to training, and we actually got a DM about this. Somebody had asked if David Ochoa was, you know, back in the mix training. This was probably a few weeks ago. He was training, but they weren't necessarily goalkeeper drills. It was just more so, you know, conditioning and other lighter stuff like that.
Some agility things.
Yeah, totally. No, he's getting like touches on the ball too, right? He was in there training like right next to like Bobby Wood, and I think Aaron Herrera was there too. Can't remember the others, but it's still the cool thing is that it's still early within the season to make adjustments like that, and people still kind of battling for their spots.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like where I want to transition to next is, you know, we play against the Hailstorm. It's a US Open Cup. Historically, like, teams just have never, for some reason or another, don't take the US Open Cup seriously, or they just don't, you know, they kind of just want to get it out of the way. And so you put, you know, you've always seen like the B squads, C squads, like you mentioned last week, you know, people getting called up to play these matches. So, you know, where I was going with that was, you know, one thing that we heard a lot in the season is, oh man, we have so much depth, right? Like, we have so many people battling for different positions. And so now it's like kind of like, it's literally in real time, we're showcasing that depth. And
boy, did it let us down.
1-0 loss. Yeah, it's almost eye-opening, right?
Man.
You've got some people who have started, you know, so you've got some starters who are playing with this team.
Uh-huh.
Obviously not full strength, but you're playing Hailstorm. I don't know the exact specifics, but it sounds like
third division.
Sounds like this started to play, what, 2-3 months
that
ago?
That was their fifth match total ever.
Okay. Okay. That's really bad.
That's really bad.
That's really bad.
This game for me was far more frustrating than the 6-0 loss in New York, because the team that we started should absolutely have handled these guys no problem. You had Everton out there.
Yeah,
you had Ochoa out there. You had Glad. You had Rubin. You know, the guys out there can ball, right? Like, it wasn't like it was all Monarchs. Mm-hmm. There were just some Monarchs peppered in there. But boy, oh boy, did we look bad. And no, okay, let me phrase that.
I mean, you've got...
We didn't look bad. We looked confused.
Yeah.
And extremely really one-dimensional, right? Like, the only tactic for that game was get the ball wide, cross it in to Rubio Rubin, who is the shortest striker on the team.
Yeah.
It didn't work. There was nothing going forward. We had 75% possession, 2 shots on target. I mean, it was probably more than that, but we just were not dangerous to me. We were not dangerous, and of course they score a belter. Sick goal, I'm going to hand them that. But man, I would have loved those dudes. Man, did you watch the game at all?
I saw bits and pieces. I did see the goal. I saw him hush the crowd.
Yeah, well, dude, so the entire match off the ball, their players were harassing everybody. Real big goals. I enjoy it, but also, like, they earned it, and I wish we could have shut them up, but we didn't, and it's quite embarrassing.
It's a lack of almost, like, I want to say, like, preparedness, right? Could be a mentality thing. You're like, hey, I mean, just how we described it, you know, 5 games in, the team's been formed for a couple of months.
We should be able to just go out there and we'll score just because of who we are, right? Like, they totally,
yeah.
It had to have been this game is not going to be hard, so let's just go get it over with. And then, oh, these guys, because the lower division teams, they want to play. They have something to play for, so they're not going to roll over. So suddenly these guys are coming at you. You're not prepared mentally, and then you're losing suddenly, and it's embarrassing. And they were obviously embarrassed. After the game, everyone kind of hit the ground like, holy shit, that just happened. And I hope
in your own
that's
stadium.
A wake-up call. I really hope that's a wake-up call for these guys, because that's unacceptable to me. That match over the New York City FC match is absolutely unacceptable.
I mean, we're literally talking about small potato squad coming in to a stadium that's been around for, what, 16?
Something like that, yeah.
15 something. You've got MLS, right? You've got a team that's literally playing at the highest.
Everton Louise is making more money than that entire team put together. I guarantee it.
Exactly. Everton Louise, by the way, shops at Burlington Coat Factory. I saw him there one time.
Smart guy.
Not a bad place to shop.
Now protect that money, right?
Dude.
Why do you want to pay full price for some of this stuff? You know?
Why would you buy a $500 t-shirt is the real question.
Yeah, that's fair.
I could never.
Dude, I have a hard time spending $28 on a t-shirt.
Yeah, dude, I won't. I'll buy like three, you know, like a three-pack t-shirts, different variations from Amazon.
Yep.
Anyway.
Just unacceptable.
Other news, let's see.
Well,
go ahead.
I was going to ask you about one other player because we talked about McMath potentially losing his spot. When does Tate Schmidt lose his? And when did we get so sour on him? Because, boy, he was having himself some games.
Yeah, it is crazy. I mean, it's when you put it into perspective, not even has it been a full week since we lost at NYCFC?
Nope.
No. Literally lost over the last weekend. This match was played against Hailstorm yesterday, Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't even been 3 to 4 days, and everyone's already calling, especially for Tate Schmidt. I've been at the stadiums. I've seen the social media. I've seen everybody love on Tate because
turn on him real quick.
He's scoring goals. He's involved in the play. Like it's crazy. Listen. Tate Schmidt, although has had some, I don't know if you want to call it luck or maybe, I mean, come on. His goals.
They've been nice.
His goal.
They've been nice.
They've been nice. And it's a little bit of luck, dude. Let's talk about it. Like, if you ever look at, you know, betting odds for defenders to score, the numbers are ridiculous. The payouts are ridiculous because it's not expected. It's unexpected.
Yep.
And so, you know, I guess it's a gift and a curse because you could be Tate Schmidt getting shots off,
mm-hmm.
scoring goals, and then, you know, the fan base just expects you to continue to do that when in reality, like Tate Schmidt, dude, he may not score for another 3 years.
Right.
Or he may not be playing at the same level that he played over the last games. Like, let's take the scoring equation or shots out of it. Just defender, right? Just playing defense.
Right. He's just been he's been exposed since Toronto. Absolutely exposed. So, but also, he's not a left back, right? He should not be playing left back. Left wing back, maybe. I think he needs to be either a winger or that's it. Like, no more left back for Tate Schmidt, please, because since Toronto, he's been equally responsible for multiple goals, just like Zach McMath has, and it's absolutely frustrating.
Yeah. So I think it's, you know, we probably saw like a spurt of luck. I don't know what you want to call it. I mean, it's just like with anything, right? Like, think of your work. Some weeks, some months, you're going to kill it, and then boom, it's just downhill for a little bit. But at this quality of play, caliber of play, whatever you want to call it, you got to be a lot more reliable. And it is a little bit valid to kind of, I would say, go after him, especially if you feel like he's responsible for the goals in the last few matches. But you know, that's where it kind of, you know, you draw the line. It's like, okay, do we blame Tate Schmidt for maybe playing out of position, getting exposed? And then, you know, that teams coming in know that that's a weak link, right? So they're going to play accordingly to that. Like, teams are not stupid. Coaches are not stupid. They don't just show up at Rio Tinto like a pickup soccer game and say, okay, let's figure this out. They're watching you. They're looking at the last couple performances, and they're looking at, okay, who do we want to avoid? Who do we clearly not want the ball against us? How are we going to play? Are we going to pack it in? Are we going to slow things down if we get a goal, right? Because every single team, dude, that travels, although they want that win, what's the most realistic expectation? Pulling a draw,
yep.
Right? Getting that 1 point on the road. So, you know, it's where I was going with this was, is Tate Schmidt 100% the person to blame, or Is that a coaching thing? You know, do we want to continue to play this stupid experiment of, hey, well, we're just missing this little piece of positioning. So this guy seems to want to play that, or hey, let's just take this person and tuck him over here. It is frustrating. It's really frustrating when you think of it that way. And it does lead to a lot of questions. It's like, okay, what are we doing to fix that? Because right now it's just kind of screaming like the Real Salt Lake of old.
Right. Or no, really, it feels like a Freddy Juarez, Mike Pecky team still. But again, same players, really, that have been there the entire time, really. Like I said earlier, it's going to take some time, but I'd like to see if or how Pablo adjusts. Because now we're kind of getting out of the man motivator Pablo, and we have to see the adjustment Pablo, the tactics Pablo, and see what he can do, right? So there's now no better time than now to prove to us what kind of gaffer you are. But no,
it's all in the response. It's all in the response. It's, you know, the response in the past was, hey, we're exposed here. But you know what? Hey, let's just continue to play this person there. It doesn't matter.
Right.
And now what we would really like to see is we'd like to see a change. And that change you could possibly find in Tate Schmidt. It's not too late to write Tate Schmidt completely out. It's working with him on a few things that left him exposed or put him in that positioning in the first hand, mm-hmm. right? So, listen, when Tate Schmidt was doing well and, you know.
When we were doing well.
I mean, it was a whole different attitude towards him. Yeah, when we were doing
well. Well, I mean, I think 3 weeks ago, everyone was complaining that RSL wasn't third in the power rankings, right? So, like, it's all in how you look at it, right? This is a very short spurt, hopefully, in the whole grand scheme of the season. And I'm gonna preach patience still for now, right? Like, that could easily change. A run of another bad five games, and we're probably changing our tone. Hell, Portland goes sideways, we're probably changing our tone a little bit, depending on how it goes sideways. Mm-hmm. But for now, firing anyone is not going to change anything, right? The transfer window.
No. I mean, if anything... Yeah, I mean, a firing, if anything, dude, it's you're literally just like you're shaking it up so much.
You're setting us back.
That it would just be complete chaos. Right. Yeah, it's just going to set us back.
If we had signings in the pipeline that could potentially be put over the line before this window's open, you're setting that back till summer. Guaranteed. So, I mean, I really hope we get someone in though. Man. Anyway, congrats, Northern Colorado. Congrats.
It happened this time. You're probably not going to see that for a decade.
Like, no.
It's
that team doesn't.
Hailstorm's going to disappear in a week.
They won't exist in a decade, so.
Oh, man. All right.
Well, tell me I'm wrong. Okay. Tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah. It's tough, man. It's tough running soccer teams. Well, you know, I just want to wrap this up. Now, I also want to say, you know, it's cool to have an opinion. It's cool to express those thoughts. I think collectively at the RSL show, I think it's just, you know, it's too premature. And I think I said immature before. I didn't mean that. I meant premature. It's too premature to just, like I said, just set fire to the stadium and the ownership and the coach and all those things. So, you know, whatever you're thinking, whatever you're feeling, whatever you're tweeting is totally valid. Unless you're being a complete head online. Anyways, whatever. Yeah, there was one person that tweeted some freaking ridiculous image.
Yeah,
there's no space for that. If you're listening to this, dude, there's literally no space for that. And I would hope that you change that real quickly.
Yeah, all right. acting like that doesn't get anyone anywhere, and it's not gonna get you clout if that's what you're wanting. And you have to think of the repercussions of what burning the squad down does. That sets us back even farther. It does no good, really. So, but hey, everyone's entitled to their opinion. I respect that. But you know, if there's a line for sure. And if, you know, we're not responding, you've probably crossed it.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway.
All right, so let's hit up Twitter questions real quick.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's not forget the Twitter questions. We gave them plenty of time today, and we got lots in there.
Yeah, for sure. Jeremiah Spradlin just went off.
He went ham, but he has some good ones in there. Let's start with those.
All right, so we tweeted out from the RSL Show account. We wrote, recording a new episode of the RSL Show. Drop your hot takes below. Leave questions, comments, shit posts, etc. And you guys did a really good job on that. So let's see. Jeremiah broke it down, and he just numbered them. And I don't really know if he wants a response from us or not, but we did say just leave comments. So number one, lack of attacking creativity is a gap, in quotes, in RSL. Our central forwards require better service and support. We agree with that. We've been saying it now. You can't just whip balls into the box and expect that that's the only way our goals are going to come. Right. It's just not.
And losing Joni to injury and probably having to wait until summer to get an Albert replacement doesn't help that.
Yeah, exactly. Number two, RSL can't or won't play centrally in the attacking third. Almost everything is down and crossed from the wing. It becomes a pattern. Yeah, teams are figuring this out. It's not hard to look at RSL tape and say, okay, this is who we're worried about. These two people, three people, whatever. But this is like overall, this is how they play.
Yep.
And so this is how we're going to defend against them. And this is how we're going to counter against them. I mean, it's the counter that gets us every single time. Number four, a weak attack makes every goal allowed that much worse. Our D is good normally, especially with the injuries, but our lack of attack makes it look that much worse.
Factual. When your defense can hold, but if one goal allowed is the nail in the coffin because you don't trust your offense to get one or two, it's insane. That's a lot of pressure on the defense, and it's not fair to the defense. So I completely agree. We got to score goals and keep clean sheets. You can't win with just one or the other. You got to have a good mix.
Dude, Hellstorm, I mean, I think I saw the stats briefly. Like, we had, like, what, 16 shots? I think, oh, man, it was like five on target. But anyways,
none
like,
of them, to your point. Yeah, none of them tested the keeper.
Okay, but they had... They had, like, what, one shot on target, and that happened to be their goal?
I think it was two. But our best opportunity was Ruiz hitting that banger from about 30 yards out that barely missed. And what a goal that would have been for him. But unfortunately, it did not go in.
Yeah. Yep. Number five, we need Elliott to seriously pull the trigger on at least one creative attacker and one defensive DP.
I agree, but again, we got to make sure it's the right guy. You know, let's not make a panic signing that ends up being like an Antonio or a Yura. So we really might have, we're going to have to be patient. If transfers don't come in the summer, then we can get after ownership.
I don't know if there could be stuff out there where Elliot's doing maybe radio interviews and maybe they've asked him those questions. I still have belief that he's the guy. I think they're figuring it out. It's well calculated.
Yes.
In my opinion. Is it happening as maybe as quickly as we want? Probably not.
Does it ever though? Like, does it ever?
No.
Yeah.
No.
That's kind of my point.
The history of any like, you know, signing DP, anything like that, it starts as whispers, rumors. We get a confirmation, and then it's like weeks or months before anything happens. I mean, look at like the Cuellar stuff, right? Cuellar. Just that's your prime example,
though. Right? And I apparently, mean, that's,
where are we with that?
Apparently, that's still happening, but in the summer. So, you know, it's just the January window is brutal.
Yeah.
Next.
Yeah, exactly.
Next taker question.
Taylor Delinga. Taylor, it's been a while, dude. What's up? Hope you're well out there. I think he lives like in Layton or something. I felt like all game Rubio was trying to draw the foul instead of actually trying to score. Thoughts, Josh? I'll let you take that one.
I would agree. There were many times that I feel like Rubin went down quite softly. It was very frustrating. Some of those times, if he would have stayed on his feet, he might have been able to create an opportunity. There were a couple that I think were genuine shouts for an actual penalty as well. So, yeah, I'd agree.
I mean, I probably haven't been paying much attention to Rubio. And like I said, I watch portions of this game. So, yeah, I mean, I've always admired like some of the best strikers are the ones that don't go down quickly.
Right.
Right. Like they're battling for the ball. They're trying to get that last touch. The foul will come if you just continue to go at it. But to just, you know, when you're kind of flopping and you're asking for the foul, then it's very Neymar-esque. And that's just – Neymar's just someone that I have zero respect for.
Same. And I definitely feel like he was on the ground more often than not this game. So, whatever.
Yeah. Rubin, I know you don't listen to this, dude. But if you do, man, you're so much better than that, bro. You can tuck him away. I know you can. All right, let's see. Ruben Santos.
Don't give him any play.
Says hot. Yeah, hot take. He says we all have RSL and wouldn't leave it for anything. Not so hot take. Bitching and complaining is fun. Yeah, I
agree to both. Yeah, but the bitching and complaining has to be smart bitching and complaining, right? Like, not off the rails. Everything's awful. Let's kill everyone and burn everything down. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I like smart bitching. Yeah. I like smart bitchy.
Yeah. Now, if you follow the RSL show, we did say we need to bury a duck under the pitch on Twitter. So it's not the smartest take.
But at least it's funny.
But obviously, it's a joke. Yeah, it's a funny. It's a joke. There were some people that were like literally heated. Like it was ridiculous.
Man. Yeah, like they were letting it completely ruin their evening and probably their day today too.
Yeah, guys, yeah, you relax a little bit, okay? I think the club's fine. I think we're just fine where we are. All right. Eric Walker asks, how long would we have to go without any new signings for it to be worrisome?
If summer comes and nothing happens, then I'm extremely worried, but I know that's not the answer any of you want to hear, but that's my answer, and I think that is the answer. So patience.
I mean, you gotta think, right? Like there's a soccer player out there hungry to play in MLS in the States. Like I just hope that Real Salt Lake isn't doing, you know, they're not putting like their eggs all in one basket and then all those deals are falling through and then boom, there's nobody left.
I don't think so.
You would hope that basically like the net is cast wide and they're having conversations because yeah, I mean, it's just something's better than nothing, in my opinion. Okay. Ryan Hamblin, when as a fan base do we panic about our current trend? Ryan, I already think, dude, I think it's what trend, bro? Like, we started undefeated and we got our asses kicked by NYCFC 6-0. Take out the Hellstorm game that, for a lack of a better, I don't know, man. Like, I like trophies, US Open Cup, that would be cool. You know, you get your bid, like you get into like champions, right? Excluding that game, and I know that we should care about it, and I know it's tough, but it's like, come on, we've had literally the best start in as long as we've been doing this damn show, dude.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So I just Ryan, think- that's I'm not going off on you, dude. It's just the question that I've seen. It's like, it's like. Fans are getting like they're wanting permission to go riot, no pun intended. But it's like just hold it back.
Yeah, this,
you know, just take a deep breath, turn off the TV, just go watch something else. We still have a great league record. Okay, it was just a bad performance. No one likes losing by 6 goals, but it's too early.
Yeah, but this is when the fan base needs to collectively hate to use the word believe and support the team, right? Like calling for their heads after two bad results isn't gonna give them any help, right? Like you gotta support them right now, you gotta push, you gotta believe, you gotta be good fans in order to help them get over this hump, this very small hump.
Also he asks what happened to the buses that Mitch used to construct and what is the current status of said buses. Like I said, I was going to tweet it out yesterday just as a joke, but even then it felt way too premature to tweet out an image of a bus or whatever or anything indicating a bus. And listen, the easiest attack on the RSL show is people saying, oh, well, you know, oh, you guys get paid and you guys are friendly with the club. It's like, no, dude, like if the club sucks, they'll know about it. If we're pissed off at the club, like they'll know about it. This right here. It's just like, I'm not worried. Like it's, yeah, it sucks. 6-0. yeah, Hailstorm came in and like just, I don't even want to say it, like on our home turf or whatever. But I'm not worried.
No,
I'm not. I'm really not worried.
And
not worried.
And we'll never hold back, right? Like the club, the people in the club still have us as the reputation of, you know, the RSL show will tell us if something's wrong. And we do. And we will. I'm just not prepared to make that leap, right? Like I was at training on Tuesday and, you know, I heard from multiple people like, oh, your Twitter feed on Sunday was a little rough. And I said, and it should have been. You can't, you know, can't disagree, you know. So, like, it's still, yeah. You know, they know. But I'm not prepared to be like, oh, Pablo is terrible to fire him. No, not yet.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Let's see. Draper Ute says, I'm pumping the brakes this morning on rash reactions, but that was bad soccer last night. We've been terrible against Portland of late. Don't see it improving soon. Will Blitzer and Smith, or excuse me, will give Blitzer and Smith more time. But I'm having doubts about the front office.
What's the doubt so far, right? Just because we didn't sign a DP within the first 2 months of them buying the club, like I don't understand why everyone thinks the front office is suddenly so terrible. They built a pretty damn good squad with no money under Deloitte, and it's gonna. How many times it's gonna take time to get in all these other new guys that Blitzer and Smith can afford. I feel like we got lucky being able to just snag Cordova on a loan, right? Like, just judging the front office in any kind of way right now is just so premature. It's insane. It's like if you were to start playing FIFA on career mode and you lose your first match and the team fires you, right? Like, it's silly. It's silly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mimic that sentiment. Like, you know, we're still talking about Western Conference finalists that no one thought we could get to because, yeah, we didn't have an owner. You know, front office is working hard to build a better fan experience, to build a good squad. I mean, to just give everybody the access that they want.
Yeah, to literally clean up the shitstorm Deloitte created over a decade. It's going to take time to clean up Deloitte's poopy diaper, right? Like,
yeah,
can't just so take 6-0, a fire hose, I mean, it's to just, it, you know? I don't know.
I would probably be more prone to, you know, blaming those on the field on this one.
Yep.
I don't think front office is one to kind of go after. Let's see. Andrew Lord says, either the scouting department is struggling to find good and available players, the front office isn't getting anywhere with agents, or the owners aren't willing to open their wallets. I highly doubt that they're not willing to open their wallets. Let's see. I have no insider info at all, but I'm guessing the main problem isn't the last one.
Yeah, it's A and B for sure. Definitely A and B, which is kind of what we've talked about already.
Yeah, it's still negotiations. I mean, you gotta think. You're approaching players who are, you know, especially with like the talent that we're trying to go after. You've got players who are either comfortable where they are. Maybe they've considered MLS, but maybe not all the way. Think about it. To an outsider, Salt Lake City, Utah, dude, what the hell does Salt Lake City have to offer you or your family?
Other than a contract, right?
Yeah. So those are still very, you know, those are still very, I think, tough things to overcome because when you think of Major League Soccer, if you're outside of the bubble, Major League Soccer, what are the teams? Where do people want to go?
LAFC.
Probably Miami, NYCFC, Seattle. Portland, LAFC, Galaxy. Yeah, exactly. Nobody, let's just be honest, like a lot of people do not, by choice, Real Salt Lake's not going to be their first choice. I'm sorry.
That's just not. It's the same problem the Jazz have, right? Like, it's going to take a while to get over that hump and become that destination team. And until then, the players you can choose from, that pool is a lot smaller, right? The players that are willing to come here, that pool is a lot smaller. So it's a lot harder to go out and sign a DP than it is for an LAFC or LA Galaxy. Like, you have to really find a guy that's committed. Probably a family guy, right, that wants to come here. There's not a lot of Demirs out there, right? We have to find the Demirs, really.
Well, it's like right now, even, I mean, it's crazy. Like, you think about it. Okay, so Houston Dynamo is, you know, I would say we're like same tier with them, right? Like, people will argue and say, no, well, Real Salt Lake is the better. Like, yeah, I agree. Real Salt Lake, we're the better club. But from a marketing perspective, from the league and, you know, just the attention that we get from Major League Soccer is much lower. So on an even playing field, you've got Real Salt Lake and Houston Dynamo. Well, if you pitch Houston, right, like Houston literally just picked up Hector Herrera, who is at Atletico.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the greatest players to play on the Mexican national team. People like that, people have heard about Houston in Texas way more than they've heard about Salt Lake City in Utah.
100%.
People still think we ride freaking wagons out here and have six wives. You know what I mean? So it's still a hard sell, man. And you got to think, we're not the only people who know that these players are available and maybe looking for opportunities. So it's not only if we think that, you know, Cuellar, for an example, if we think that we're the only person or the only team that are talking to players like that,
then we're naive. Yeah,
very naive. Naive, however you say it.
But there are players out there that'll come play here. It's just going to take some time.
You got to find them. And see, and the problem has been is like we haven't landed that one big player that we know for a fact is going to pay off from the moment that we sign them.
Yep.
Our style of signing, and I don't think that it's going to change anytime soon, is we find like a diamond in the rough. We just hope that they're going to come here, mesh with the squad, and do a good job. And sometimes we get really lucky. Like Demir Krylock,
I think,
is the best example of that.
I think Cuellar would buck that trend, though, because you know exactly what you're getting out of a player like that, and that's a solid player. So if we can start landing those players, that trend absolutely changes. But I think we will always, always be looking for the diamond in the rough as well.
The diamond in the rough.
Yes, sir.
Touch nothing but the lamp.
Please, right. Okay. Please title this episode Cleaning Up Deloitte's Poopy Diaper.
No, I can't do that, man. You know I can't do that. All right, so let's just do a record check. You still recording?
Recording. Yep, it's still recording.
All right, very cool. Let's keep going. Damn, dude, we said we were going to do 20 minutes. We're like at an hour now.
Yeah, let's wrap it.
Let's keep going, man. I mean, there's some good content here. Let's see. Francis at Turncoat. Cordova scores more goals than Bobby Wood does, and there's no one good enough in the midfield to create good chances.
I bet you Bobby Wood and Cordova have a little goal-scoring battle once they both start scoring goals. They might be battling over three goals. Who knows? But as far as the midfield goals, yes, that's absolutely the truth. Midfield is just not creative, and it's stressful.
Eric at Kanye Asada. That's a great...
That's pretty good. That's
Kanye
funny.
Kanye Asada.
I dig that.
Yeah, people talk about signings, but the team we have right now should have been able to beat Northern Colorado. Yeah.
Yup.
Easy. I mean, they should have spanked them. It's really weird, man. We got the tickets, right? You guys were so cool. So we asked a friend of mine, Courtney, text me and said, "Hey, do you have any hookups? Like, there's, you know, I got two friends from the Congo who like are here in the U.S. for the first time. They want to go to a professional soccer match. Can you get us tickets?" So we, you know, we put out something on Twitter and like a ton of people responded. You guys are awesome. But anyways, I felt really bad for that being their first match.
Yeah, that's
professional match.
That's a match that will not win you a new fan. That's for sure.
Yeah.
No,
I get that Courtney was trying to do something special for him, but a U.S. Open Cup game is, yeah. What sucks about this is like those guys, you know, they're going to leave and that's their impression of Real Salt Lake, like half empty stadium losing to and they probably had no idea who the Hailstorm was or what the competition was, but damn, that sucks, man.
Yeah.
That's
rough. It's rough. Hurts. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, can you imagine? They're gonna go home and be like, "Yeah, soccer still sucks over there."
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Let's do a few more. BYU Boozer. Cordova has a few opportunities late in the game to take a shot at goal, but passed both times. First was a good lead pass coming up left side from Garcia. Second in the box, he headed a pass toward a teammate. Do you see the same hesitation for him to pull the trigger?
I certainly do. He's had the same hesitation all season, I feel like. He really just needs to shoot. It's so basic, and I feel stupid saying it, but like, just have a shot, bud. Put your foot through it, see what happens. Maybe you're pleasantly surprised. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? You know? Yeah, just let one rip, right? Just hit a fan in the north end. Who cares? All right. Russell Malinsky says, lukewarm take. It's looking like the $10 bet I made in Wendover for RSL to take 2022 MLS Cup would have been better spent on a pint of whiskey.
Yeah, probably.
You're still not out of it, though, man. Like, 2022 MLS Cup, it's just one game, dude. And I have complete faith. But I still stand to my prediction where, like I said on the last show, we always have crap starts and then we finish pretty strong, pretty decent. This time we finish strong and then we're going to fizzle out, probably not make the playoffs. I just want to be on record saying that so that if it happens, I just feel smart. If it doesn't happen and they win a cup, I'll get a tattoo, Josh's choice.
All right.
Spurs Bay. We got two more questions and we'll let you guys go. Spurs Bay. I think this just goes to show how much a hype man can work over a longer period of time.
I think he's referencing Pablo being like a rah-rah guy. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and he put a little emoji.
Has he seen a bus? Oh, too early, bud. Too early.
So I think this just goes to show how much of a hype man can work over a long period of time. I don't know, dude. I don't know. It's still too early, dude. It's literally Pablo's first loss in his, you know, first ever actual full season with MLS, or excuse me, with RSL. And I mean, he's been doing a great job. He's been doing a good job. Whatever. Let's just forget about US Open Cup. Let's
carry on.
Pretend. Carry on. Yeah, exactly. All right, Jonathan Pratt, last question. How long until we see some results of these long-term goals we keep hearing about?
Yeah, I don't know how to answer that one.
I would answer it this way. So ownership comes in still pretty early, but we're having a pretty good start. We lose to NYCFC 6-0. I mean, I still think we go by the 10-match rule. You know, let's see where we are at 10 matches. If we recover, like let's say we pick up a Portland draw and we win the next two matches, or we draw one and win one.
I think a lot of this is forgotten. Yeah.
Yeah, we're still in a really good position, right? So I think a 10-match rule that Josh and Jake and Mitch implemented and has been in motion for literally ever since I remember, you know, coming on the podcast. I think that's a great way to gauge, and I think that's a good way to, you know, kind of really see where you're at. And then I think at that time, I think that's when it starts to warrant, okay, if you're pissed off, like, let it be known that you're pissed off. And really any take at that point is going to be valid because you've got the data to back it up.
Right.
Right.
I still think.
Imagine Josh for a second, dude, that you just like, you gave us like the best 2 months of whatever you're doing. And then you flubbed one and we're literally being like, just fire him. Fire everybody. Right.
And you weren't even given, but and you weren't even given your summer window to really make your improvements.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so I think the 10-game rule is kind of where I want to stick this one. But I would even go 8 games.
Well, you even have to really reconsider the 10-game window because of the summer transfer window, right? Like, yes, I'm still going to kind of gauge us on 10 games this first half of the season, but everything really could change when you get in some guys that are going to make some guys never see the field for RSL again. I mean, you bring in a Cuellar and, you know, Beasler probably never sees the field again, or Everton may never see the field again. You know, you bring in a left back that's a stud and Schmidt's gone, right? Brody might even be a name that you never see again. You know, you bring in a good center back and, you know, who knows? Holt could be gone. Silva could be gone. A striker, you know, there any number of players could make another player completely obsolete and completely change the whole picture of RSL.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep. So I said 8 matches played. I meant 10, but I've whatever. I was saying 10 for a while. So right now, yeah, I mean, Real Salt Lake still, I mean, it's, you know, whatever. We're above the playoff line. It's still way too early to even talk about that. But the record is the following. So 3 wins, 3 draws, and 2 losses. Dude! Why did I think we only lost once?
We lost twice. We lost to Kansas City 1-0.
Oh, that's right. Damn, dude. All right, scrap this whole podcast. I've been wrong. No, I mean, yeah, okay, yep. Yeah, the Russell header, right?
Yep. It wasn't a header. It was just a shot. Yep. It was nice, yeah.
All right, whatever. Screw that guy. Yeah, that's right, dude. I totally forgot about that. That's the benefit of being an RSL fan is you can erase traumatic losses. But that wasn't even a traumatic. A 1-0 Kansas City away in their stadium. See, that's what I'm talking about. That's a respectable loss. That loss came like late in the game.
Oh, it was right before the game.
That is something. Yeah, that's something that you can't get mad about. Now, the 6-0, yeah, be frustrated, be pissed. But let's see how they do against Portland. Josh, let's give our quick takes. Not even really a preview, but predictions for Portland. What do you see happening and what are you okay with happening there?
I see like a 3-1 loss.
Wow.
Yeah. 3-1. I really do, yeah.
Yeah. If Ochoa is back in the mix, so I'll give 2 predictions. If McMath is in goal, I could see like a 3-1, 4-1 loss for Real Salt Lake. If Ochoa comes back, I would close that down to like a loss by 1 goal. So I'd say maybe a 1-0, 2-1. But, you know, Portland is a tough environment, man. And
they have our number there, dude.
I don't know.
Where they haven't played well they up do. There. So.
They do. So, guys, thanks so much for hanging out with us on the RSL show. Make sure to follow us on the socials. We're on IG, Twitter. We're most active on Twitter. Shout out to the sponsor at One Wire Fiber. And, of course, we're on the KSL Sports Network. You can follow me at AndyMunoz48 on all of the socials. Josh, what's your Twitter handle, dude? Figure it out.
Hold, please.
Oh, my gosh.
Shut up.
This is why we can never do a cool outro.
Just at JoshClark_15.
All right, there it is. Give us a follow. Banter without us about Real Salt Lake. Like I said, I mean, listen, you can say whatever you want about RSL. Just don't cross any lines. Don't be stupid on social media. That's just it. Don't tweet out stupid photos that are totally inappropriate. It's so mature. It's so wrong. No one is going to respect you if you handle yourself that way. All right, guys, take it easy. Thank you so much for listening to the RSL show. We'll be back next week. Hopefully, dude, if they win in Portland, I just don't even know how I would react because, I mean, we just have to delete this episode.
Why? We're telling people to be patient. And honestly, I will always eat crow if I'm wrong about a loss. I'll be like, hell yeah. Yeah. I was wrong and I'm glad
I hope
was
I'm wrong. Wrong. I hope. I mean, yeah. I mean, that's the thing is we give you these predictions based on trends and we might be right, but I hope I'm wrong.
I absolutely hope I'm wrong.
I hope we get a result.
I hope Demir scores a hat trick. Awesome. And Miram scores a banger of a free kick, and Ochoa has a clean sheet. It was a sick game. But if I'm being realistic, which I'm being,
Yeah, someone just recreates a Becker bomb.
Right, I would be pumped. But yeah, we'll see.
Exactly. So So don't get us wrong. We really, really want to win, but we're also realists. All right, guys. See you next week. Thank you so much for keeping it here. Also, there's plenty of Real Salt Lake content out there. I hate saying their names, but whatever. Go check out the RSL Soapbox. They do a good, decent job. And that's pretty much it. Just us and them. So,
Not even.
Oh my God.
Bleeding Clara Cobalt. Oh, hang on.
No. Not. Oh, I didn't even think about them. El Show Real, guys. Yes. That's the best RSL podcast ever to exist. They do such a great job. Of course, it is all in Spanish. So if you want to learn Spanish, now is the time. But they got some pull. They were able to get, I forget his name. Just a huge, huge guests on El Show Real. We kind of helped them get their started, but they've spread their wings and they've outgrown us, guys. I mean, honestly. Of course, there's Bleeding Claret and Cobalt with Trey Fitzgerald. That's a Real Salt Lake owned podcast, so I just don't know how I feel about that.
Fair.
All right, see you guys.